From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. An absolutely incredible day today. Next hour, the skeptic's cage. Two go in, one comes out. The battle between ufologist Stanton Friedman and skeptic Michael Shermer. And I've got to tell you, I really wrestled with this one tonight. I was thinking of canceling tonight's guests because of this disaster. But many of you need somewhat of a diversion tonight. And what I would ask you to do, because of the seriousness of the story we are about to report this hour, those of you who are watching television, perhaps, just bring your radio by your TV or vice versa if you want to continue to watch this very tragic story unfolding, the story that we are about to tell you again. Your worst nightmare, imagine this, you're on a bridge waiting in traffic. It begins to sway. And all of a sudden, it collapses, and you're on it. That's what happened in Minneapolis. An interstate bridge jammed with rush hour traffic suddenly broke into huge sections and collapsed into the Mississippi River. Dozens of cars plunged 60 feet into the water. Now, the Mississippi in that area is not as deep as it is in Louisiana, where in some areas it's 200 feet deep. Around there, it's probably 10 to 12 feet deep. Even up more north, it's about only 3 feet. Mississippi generally pretty shallow until you get way down by Louisiana. So that's the fortunate part of all this. 7 people killed right now, 60 injured, maybe 20 missing. I think the death toll will go higher. The 8-lane Interstate 35 West Bridge, a major Minneapolis artery, I used to go on that all the time when I lived there, was in the midst of being repaired and had several lanes closed when it crumbled on Wednesday evening. Christy Foster lives in that region, and she is desperately looking for her brother and girlfriend. Hi, Christy. I hope all is well. What can you tell us?
Well, right now, as far as we know for sure that my brother and his girlfriend isn't in any of the hospitals. That's all that we know right now.
Okay, Christy, how do you know that they were even on the bridge?
We don't know for sure, but normally this is out of their routine. Normally they come to my house every day, and they haven't came and checked in with us today.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's out of their routine. You get set in a routine, you do it every day, and that's something they do every day. If they didn't stop by, they would at least call, and we're okay, you guys, don't worry about us.
Christy, do they normally take that 35 West Bridge?
Yeah, they live right there. They would take that bridge to go home and to come to my house, to come towards downtown Minneapolis. So I don't know.
Do you have friends or family camped out at where they live, just in case they come home?
Well, they have a thing set up at the Holiday Inn Metrodome, and her mom and her sister are down there. We've been checking in their house, and nobody's over there. Everybody's at my house, and we're hoping that maybe they see something and call if they're okay, or we hope we hear something.
I hope so, too, Christy. Cell phones, of course, have you tried, and are you getting any kind of ringing?
No, they have it turned off.
It is turned off.
Yeah. And we can't get through to it. We've been trying, but
all right, Christy. Well, look, our prayers, and let's hope everything works out for you and your family, okay?
Thank you.
All right, it's Christy Foster up there in Minneapolis. You just heard her part of the story. Ian Punnett, our very own Ian Punnett, has had a busy day. He lives, of course, in the Minneapolis-St. Paul region. He's been on CNN all night long reporting on the comings and goings-on of this tragedy. Ian, absolutely unbelievable story.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, George, you may not be able to picture that bridge as easily. Just, I know you've driven on it, but I mean, I was just there, I don't know, I drove within the last 7 days or so, and it's a short bridge. It's not long. As you mentioned, the Mississippi isn't the Mississippi that people have in their imagination at that point in the river, and so it's just a little jump over, and yet if this collapse had happened a half hour earlier, people that know that area well, know that bridge well, say that it might have been 120 cars in the water, and it, or if it happened a little bit later, you would have had the traffic coming out of the Metrodome for the Twins game.
Ian, when I was on this bridge, it was 11 years old. It is now 40 years old. You know, and there was just a government report issued not too while ago that talked about how water was starting to erode a lot of the nation's bridges down by the pilings, down in that area. Now, in this particular case, this bridge was checked over the last several years. It was due to be replaced in 2020. Did anybody ever report that there were problems there, that they felt swaying, anything unusual?
Not swaying. Here's what we know. And this part's been interesting, is that there really aren't piling supports for that particular span of bridge, that it's an old-style girder box bridge, and that it had been checked in 2001. According to a published report in the Star Tribune on their website tonight, they talk about that. They showed that there in 2001 there had been a concern that a structural engineer had looked at that particular bridge and said, okay, here's the worst-case scenario, is this whole bridge comes unhooked on both sides. Now, that was 2001. The bridge passes inspection in 2005 and 2006 with only comments about cosmetic cracks. Still, they're working on it. Now, most of what they were working on, as I understand it today, Minnesota Department of Transportation was doing, putting up light poles, doing some of the guardrail, taking some concrete cracks out. But it wasn't like they knew that something was coming. In fact, they had no indication of that, or of course they wouldn't have allowed any traffic on the bridge at all.
The word that a lot of people just don't want to use today, Ian, is terrorism. Have they talked about this at all in Minneapolis, St. Paul? Have they talked about the possibility? Because I do have to tell you, the way this bridge collapsed, as any engineering structural expert will tell you, is very unusual.
Well, there was no explosion. So that's something which the people I spoke with earlier tonight, I spoke to several people who came off of the bridge, and they all said the same thing. There was no loud moment. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that there wasn't something that could have precipitated the breakup. But they said it was really just sort of a big falling away, that the bridge just fell. The part that they were on just literally disappeared, and they saw people and cars, but people coming out of cars, literally just going up in the air. And there was no crack or fireball or anything. It was just, it was there, and then it rumbled, and then just large parts of it just started dropping off. I mean, I talked to a woman, George, I thought this was so interesting. She had been in a car. She drove. She had just gotten past the first crack. So you can see the bridge is coming along, going southbound on 35W, and then it just stops. And her car is at the base of where that first span of bridge falls down, and she was there, and a car behind her drove on, flipped onto her own car.
Oh.
And both she and the person that landed on her both walked away.
Now, they are saying that there could be 60 vehicles still in the water. If that's the case, have they checked them all?
No, I don't think
they have not.
I don't think they could have. I mean, I can't say that with authority, but I was there while it was still daylight. I was there just within 15, 20 minutes after the collapse. And the while I was there, while I was watching, there were some boats, but a lot of these cars or these trucks, all you can do is you can see down, sort of murky down. You can sort of see that you can see maybe the hood, or you can see a trunk lid or something like that. But you can't really even necessarily see every car just by looking at it from either the side or even from an aerial view. It will require divers going in. As you note, it's not that deep, but it's really thick silt. So a car could go down and could literally sink into, you know, 4 feet of silt.
Oh, yeah. It's muck down that way.
And so we won't even know who's there, what cars are there. We were told 50 to 60 cars. I talked to one guy who said, don't quote me on this. He said the number could be much higher than that. And because Minneapolis-St. Paul is kind of keen on carpooling, it's even if you looked at that as being one person in that the death toll is going to go up a lot, but there might be many more people in there.
Well, Ian, we are so glad that you and your family are okay, but I can horribly imagine what it's like to be someone at home and they get a call and they say your loved one dies because the bridge collapsed.
Well, of course, my wife and my kids were out at that time. They were doing some errands. I tried calling her on her cell phone, but all the cell phones are shut down. All of the traffic just
can't handle
allow any calls to go through. So there was about a half hour there where I too, just, you know, worst case scenario, thinking, I know they were doing errands. Why would they be over at that? They couldn't possibly be going over that bridge. But it's such a common, you know, place, a stretch of pavement to go over. You know, who would ever would have thought, you know, twice about doing it?
Ian, we may very well talk with you all this week as more information unfolds and, of course, as these divers get to these submerged vehicles. Okay?
Yep. I'm always there.
And good job on CNN today.
Oh, thanks, buddy. God bless you.
That's Ian Punnett, one heck of a guy, and what an evening this has been for him. And everybody out there, our deepest condolences to those of you in the Minneapolis area listening to us on KSTP right now. A little bit later on, we'll open up the phone lines, and those of you in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, I'll give you a special hotline number. Dr. Turi, of course, who is a regular psychic guest on this program, did predict a major event, explosion type, on the 30th or 31st of July. That's August 1st. He came pretty darn close to this. This, of course, at this point, is not the biggest bridge collapse tragedy in this country's history. At this point, I say that, because in December of 1967, the Silver Bridge collapsed in West Virginia, and taking it, of course, 46 lives. What is so strange about that episode, as you well know, listening to this program, Mothman, the Mothman prophecies based on John Keel's book, Mothman was spotted several days before that tragic bridge collapse. And, of course, in terms of structural collapses, the biggest that has ever occurred, and I'm not counting the World Trade Center disaster, was at the Hyatt Regency in Kansas City back in 1981. I remember this because we had to send a news crew from St. Louis out there. A bunch of people were having a good time partying and dancing on a walkway at the Hyatt Regency. The fourth floor walkway collapsed, barely missing the third floor, hitting the second. 114 people died in that situation, 200 injured there. And the condition of our bridges, 27% of them are in horrible shape. There are about 162,000 bridges in this country. Structurally deficient, based on a 2000 report, could be even higher now. In a moment, we're going to talk with James Childs about this entire situation. There are some other stories, of course. The pilots of that doomed TAM Airlines flight, 3054, screamed, slow down, turn, 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 seconds before their Airbus A320 skidded off the runway in Sao Paulo and slammed into a building last month. This according to flight recorder transcripts. According to these transcripts, read before a congressional commission there in Brazil, investigating air safety there, the pilots were unable to activate the spoilers. Now, those are the aerodynamic brakes on the plane's wings as it sped down the short, rain-slicked runway. The last words heard in the cockpit were, turn, 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 oh no, followed by screams and the sounds of two explosions. 187 people aboard that jetliner, 12 people on the ground died in Brazil's deadliest air disaster there. Ex-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, top former Pentagon brass, denied any cover-up and rejected personal responsibility for the military's bungled response to the Army Ranger Pat Tillman's friendly fire death in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld, appearing on Capitol Hill first time since he was replaced by Robert Gates, simply said he just can't remember much of anything. And our condolences and dear memories to Peter James. Peter James has passed away, dying here in the Los Angeles area. He was well known for his ghost and haunted stories on the Queen Mary. Peter James was a great paranormal investigator. We'll be back in a moment. James Childs, our special guest. We're going to talk about the fate of our infrastructure and what we can do about it. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. James Childs, our guest now this hour. He writes and lectures on technology, and he wrote Inviting Disaster, Lessons from the Edge of Technology, so appropriate. Now he has looked at the system malfunctions of engineering and safety, including the Challenger disaster, the 1965 New York City blackout, building designs for earthquakes. And James, this bridge collapse situation, man, I hope this is not as serious as I think around the country, but it could be a wake-up call. What do you think?
Well, George, it does have the signs of a precursor event, one of those canaries in the mine. I can lay out a couple of possibilities. Of course, we don't know what happened yet. One of those possibilities would be a pretty expensive one because there's a lot of other bridges that could be in that same situation. So it does have, I'd say more than a 50% chance that it's there are other bridges with a similar situation.
Well, you know, we had the story, 162,000 bridges in this country. According to a 2000 report, 27.5% of them are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete, and that according to the Federal Highway Administration. That's pretty sad, James.
And let's put an emphasis on that word obsolete, because that's part of the problem, is our trucks have changed a lot. Some of the bridges in that inventory go back to the 20s. Let's take the example of the Silver Bridge that you mentioned. A spectacular failure, half mile long, but it's kind of easy to blame the bridge builders and say, how could you have done such a thing? But when they put that bridge up, it was for Model Ts, trucks of 20,000 pounds, and over the years, those trucks got bigger and bigger, and to a somewhat lesser extent, but still true, that's happened with today's bridges. They were put up in the 60s. I'm sure you remember that big interstate highway, the Federal Interstate Highway Act. Just a boom in bridge building. Wow, 1956, and things really took off. Well, the I-35 bridge was part of that flock put up in 1967, and a number of things changed from what engineers call legacy bridges. Legacy Bridge, I think of the Golden Gate, Brooklyn Bridge, Oakland Bay Bridge, spectacular big structures, and people might wonder, well, why are those still around? They don't seem to have any problems.
You know, James, though, this very well may have been a structural collapse here. I really think, and I trust they will investigate for the possibility of terrorism. I mean, it didn't come up a lot tonight on any of the television programs I've been watching. But, it happened during rush hour. Yes, there was a lot of weight on that bridge. But, I mean, the thing was just inspected a few years ago. How could they miss this?
Well, it's not that hard to miss it. When you look at the pictures again, I'm sure you'll see them, some might say ad nauseum, over the coming days.
Oh, yes.
You'll see that some of those bridge, what they're called members, structural members, are actually hollow boxes. And imagine a sort of like a cardboard box, but long and narrow. Well, there's a hollow space inside, and that is a place where water and salt can gather. And it can be pretty hard to look inside a box beam like that. And there's plenty of places for corrosion to start and to keep going as the water flows in. So how they inspected it really was according to a manual rather than a do-or-die effort. The inspections are done according to federal procedures under this whole bridge inspection movement that got started with the failure of the Mianus River Bridge.
Was this an unusual collapse in the way it occurred?
There have been five big news-breaking collapses, and this is different from any of them. Of course, you're familiar with the Tacoma Narrows.
Yes.
The Silver Bridge and the Mianus in the 60s and the 80s, uh-huh. Those were failures of a critical connection, a pin or a link, a little piece, but an important little piece. And then there was another little string of collapses in 87 and 89, and that was that scouring, like you mentioned, Ian mentioned, where the piers are scoured. Well, this could fall in the scouring category, so this could be one more like the Hatchie River Bridge.
Now, Ian said on the show just a moment ago that there were no sounds of explosions, yet I did hear on CNN earlier someone said that they did hear an explosion. Do we know anything about that?
Oh, you mean, right, I was thinking of scouring. I haven't heard any evidence or seen anything about an explosion.
All right.
There was one. I haven't heard about it.
James, stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines, and I'll give you in a moment the special phone line for those of you who live in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area if you want to get into us in an easier way. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, the Minneapolis Star Tribune is reporting the 9 people are dead now there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 9 people. And we're going to open up a special hotline for those of you in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It'll make it a little easier for you to get through to us tonight. That number is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, we're back with your phone calls and our guest, James Childs, and we're going to take your phone calls right now. Jim, let's see if anybody has a question or two. Jim's website, by the way, is invitingdisaster.com. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tracy. Hi, George. I'm in Minnesota.
Hi, Tracy.
I love your show. Love you. And I'm about 12 miles away from where the bridge collapsed, and I guess... There's a buzz around here that, I mean, there's been road construction on there for a while. We have 2 seasons in Minnesota, and that's summer and road construction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is that there's a couple lanes down. It's not like the weight was too high. And somebody said that, I guess there was reports on CNN, and somebody out here said that they saw a hole in the street.
They saw a hole in the street. All right, that's
a hole in the street. Yeah, and I guess the thing is that, you know, Homeland Security's down there now. They've shut down all the bridges around the area, and just with the thing that happened 2 weeks ago, and they warned us about, you know, a terroristic event and the way that this fell. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's a little weird.
Now hold on for a second, here, Tracy. You're telling me that all the bridges in that area have been shut down?
Yeah, all the bridges in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, like that run parallel and around that area.
If they are publicly saying that they do not suspect terrorism, why would they shut all the other bridges down? I mean, the odds of those bridges collapsing because of structural deficiencies would be astronomical.
That's exactly what we're saying, and not to be. This is okay. I have Muslim friends. I am not saying this for any other reason except for that it's very synchronistic, and a couple people are saying this. It's the highest Muslim community. Look, that spot, that area around that bridge, is our highest Muslim community. I'm not saying they did it. I'm not saying anything like that. It's just something to note. That's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest factor is if indeed what you say is correct. That they have shut all the other bridges down completely. And you're absolutely sure of that?
Well, that was told to me by somebody who lives right in an apartment and is looking at all of it and is there right now. So that just got told to me by somebody who's there right now.
Okay, so that's just happening, you're saying?
It's just happening, yeah. And they shut them all down. You can't drive on any of those bridges right now.
Okay, so, all right. I'm glad you told us that, Tracy. Thank you.
George, it's my understanding they're routing people away from that area for a multitude of reasons.
Do you know, though, if police are checking the bridges, Jim?
You mean as far as, like, for holes or things like that?
Well, for whatever Homeland Security would do.
Well, I'm out west of town, so I haven't been down there. But my understanding is in these kinds of things where you have a wide-scale disaster with you want to keep people away.
I would agree with that, and that's got to be done. That's, you know, the Twins played, the Minnesota Twins played, because they were afraid of letting them all out early and rushing the area. So
you try to route people around it. By and large, now the hole in the bridge deck, I mean, they were resurfacing that bridge deck. I drove by the bridge not long before it fell in on University Avenue, and that is a big construction area. They're doing some heavy resurfacing. They closed some of the lanes on the bridge and the approaches as well.
Okay, let's go to the bridge line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing tonight? My brother and I, we went down there for about 7:30 our time and got back about half an hour ago. She is correct. They are shutting down all the bridges, but not as far as extensive. She kind of made it sound. It's just the two bridges directly north and the one or two bridges directly south of that bridge. And that is just, from what we were told, was any in the vibration or any of the damage of the bridge coming down.
How far away are those bridges from the one that collapsed?
One of them is maybe 100 yards. We actually got under that bridge. You saw where the train was collapsed?
Yes.
Yeah, we were literally right by that train.
Okay, so they were concerned that because of the structural collapse of the 35 West Bridge, it might have affected this one here.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, my dad, he worked for a concrete company for a long time, and he kind of made a good point that with some mixtures of concrete, they can produce a lot of heat as it cures, and they've been laying inches upon inches of concrete on this bridge. Now, with all that heat produced by the curing of the concrete, you know, he kind of wondered maybe if that could not pose a problem by weakening the steel of the bridge.
Very possible. Very possible. And I did hear an engineer today, though, who said, and these are his words, "I'm baffled by the way it went down."
Well, it really looks, I mean, it looks like the Bay Bridge in San Francisco when you're up there, because the vertical support structures, the majority of them are still standing, and all of the horizontal structures all went down.
Yeah, they're all
down. Similar to what the Bay Bridge, if you saw pictures of that. I mean, it's very, very, you know, twisted, a lot of twisted metal. And one of the things that if you're looking at the footage, it doesn't give it any justice to the scale and the sheer immensity of how high it was and the steepness at the angles of it, these cars and the bus that school bus is on. I mean, it's probably a 35 to 40 degree angle, which the cameras.
The other bridge that is near this bridge, the one that,
street bridge.
Yeah, the one that has the concrete around it, it seems like it's stable, more stable than this one, right?
Yeah, that one, it's I believe that bridge is a bit older, but it's a lot more beefier. There's a lot more girth to the bridge.
Okay.
I guess you could say.
James, these newer bridges they're building, how secure are they? How safe?
Well, they're built with fewer margins than the old-style bridges, like the Oakland Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate. They were able to shave the margins perhaps more than they knew. The new bridge code is more conservative than the bridges that were built, this wave of bridges built in the late 50s and 60s. I think there have been some second thoughts about the use of welding, for example. I mean, they'll continue to use welding, but it does lower the safety margins compared to riveted joints. Cracks can move more easily through welded joints than through riveted joints. So they're just more marginal, I guess you'd say. They're cheaper.
The one that went down today, was that welded?
That later generation, you know, built lighter, and they're more susceptible to
cheaper.
Fatigue cracking. Well, yes, they're... welding is always less labor input than riveting.
So instead of going the stronger way, we went the weaker way.
Well, faster, cheaper,
less safe.
Margins were shaved.
I mean, can you say they're less safe? Can you go out on a limb here and say that?
It doesn't have the redundancy of the old. I mean, think of the Brooklyn Bridge. It had a six-fold safety factor. It was designed with a six-fold.
We don't have that anymore.
That way anymore.
No, we don't. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. Roy calling from Wisconsin.
Hi, Roy. Sure thing. Thank you.
I was just up there in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area about 2 o'clock today. I'm a truck driver, and I was coming back to Wisconsin. And when I got over here to Oshkosh, I heard the news, and one of our other truck drivers, he's up there in Hudson, Wisconsin right now. He can't even cross the bridge to get over into Minnesota. Jim, are they shutting every bridge down going into Minnesota? Can you confirm that? Or
I'll have to look online. That extends quite a ways out. You're speaking all the way the 94 bridge.
Yeah. What is he saying to you, Roy?
He's telling me, George, I just got off the phone with him probably about 40 minutes ago. He says that they have police cars blocking the bridge. They're not letting anybody go by, and they're just, if this was an act of terrorism, wouldn't another bridge collapse or something like that? And it's kind of making me wonder. I just could actually terrorists actually do something like this? I mean, it's a shock, especially for truck drivers.
Well, it is conceivable to put special charge devices, James, is it not, in certain areas of an older bridge, and you can take it down theoretically, couldn't you?
Well, I mean, in Iraq, the insurgents have attacked the infrastructure in a big way. We know they've blown bridges there. They've blown down pylons for the power system. They've attacked generators. So it does happen, certainly in Iraq.
You know, and I think at this point it's irresponsible to say this is terrorism because we don't know, but I think this needs to be looked at. I just find it unusual that we're getting some calls from people that saying that bridges now, even a little farther out, may be shut down. And this from someone who's getting a report from a truck driver friend.
I can run down the sort of things that I've been hearing that they'll check into, and terrorism is on the list. I haven't seen a lot of indications, but you can't eliminate anything until you do the work. Whether some damage might have been caused due to the maintenance work, they'll look at that. I'm sure a pile driving, understand there's pile driving next door for temporary widening. And then, of course, this whole stress corrosion cracking question.
Well, and maybe they want to be safe. Maybe they just want to be safe. Because until they can rule it out for sure, I guess they have to check these other ones.
Well, that sort of happened with 9/11, right? Remember how they shut down everything pretty much. And in D.C. in 9/11, they shut the subways down, shut the trains down. That's kind of the first impulse, I think.
On this bridge, if you had six vehicles and blew them all up simultaneously, could you have taken down a bridge like this if you had vehicles on the surface?
No, I don't believe that's possible, no.
Okay. Let's move on to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. A number of things have come to my mind in witnessing this tragic scene on television up here in Canada. I'm here in Toronto, and it was a very angst-filled series of moments that these people were going through. It brought to mind the need for some kind of a maybe top 10 design constructions, let's say, in the United States, and giving out an award to that end. But it brought to mind the importance of not only filing the construction plans as you would your home when you're building, but also recording the progress should, in fact, there be a problem with the engineers in a particular firm doing what, in fact, is according to specs. And that would be the only proof the civil public administration has to confirm what went on or didn't go on. And if you're not requiring, mandating that be done in addition to the filing of the plans, you don't have a record of what they did and how they did it and whether they were screwing around. So we need to bring more attention on how oversight before, during, and after the construction is dealt with in order to provide everyone with the safety factors they need in terms of what is going on in the construction of civil infrastructure.
Tell us about the timing, James, that this went down, rush hour. Is it because of increased weight, or is it just one of those strange synchronicities?
Well, weight would be a factor if the bridge had been weakened in any way. And it's a little more complicated than just weight. It's also a matter of impact. It's sort of a dynamic thing. Imagine the bridge being hammered on by, you know, a big sledgehammer. Well, in some respect, a heavy truck that's hitting an irregular road surface is a form of a hammer. It imposes temporary loads that are quite a bit more than its axle weight. And that's not necessarily just a fault. You can't just blame it on the trucker. I mean, they're following legal weights, and it may also have something to do with the bridge surface. You know, an irregular road surface causes a lot more stress underneath. You know, pothole. A truck hits a pothole, that's a tremendous smash on the whole area. So those sort of things can play into it, not just the axle weight, but also how rough the road is.
So we've got well over 35,000 bridges in this country that are either deficient or functionally obsolete. How much would it take to fix those? We're spending a lot of money abroad.
Well, you take it, a step at a time. And I've heard figures that we would probably be spending about four times more per year than we do on that kind of, not just repair, I mean, that's important, but also replacement. I think you mentioned that figure of 2020, that was the run out.
For this one, yeah.
Well, we know now we won't have to wait that long.
How long does it take to build a bridge, James?
Well, maybe the callers could help me out, but I'm guessing upwards of 2 years. I mean, they have the piers, some of the pier structures.
Yeah, and plus, though, in this case, they got to do some cleanup work, too.
Oh, yes, and that's, like Ian was talking about, that's why we don't know how many cars are down there because it's a tremendous tangle. Let me just give you an example. When I was in the basement of one of the World Trade Center buildings in 2002, I saw some of this wreckage compressed, and it really struck me how when you have a large weight falling a long distance, it makes an enormous tangle of these great big structural beams, and it's amazing to me that you can pull that kind of thing apart. But people do, and they'll have to do that here. You'll have to get that untangled and get those cars.
I wonder if Homeland Security has the capability of tapping into our satellites and seeing moments before that bridge collapsed, what happened? What do you think?
I think the odds are very good that it's been captured on some of the traffic video. I mean, I'm sure it's been the subject of many shows, how many thousands
cameras are everywhere.
Surveillance cameras, and those things never forget, you know, if you catch them within an hour. And I'm pretty confident that, well, you know, the whole Minneapolis road system is on camera.
Well, listen to this. Here's a person from Houston saying, we were sitting in traffic when all of a sudden I started hearing boom, boom, boom. And we were just dropping, dropping, dropping. The car she was riding in landed on top of a smaller car. Mm-hmm. So what would that boom, boom, boom be? Would that be maybe the sound of just things collapsing?
The failure of the trusses. Here's how one way it's been explained to me is those trusses they're sort of set on edge. That's where their strength comes from. An example would be standing a board on edge. You know, a board underneath your floor is quite strong if it's standing on edge. It can hold a lot of weight compared to if it's laying flat. Well, when you look at an arch in a bridge, those are standing on edge. That forms a deep beam, a strong deep beam. And if something causes them to blow out to the side, they're no longer strong at all. They're just pieces of tangled metal. And as those, it looks like some of those sort of blew out to the side. And so when that steel fails, it makes a big noise because it cracks supersonically. I mean, it's sort of like a gunshot is what it sounds like.
Well, we will have to see what happens as the investigation continues.
Yes.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air very quickly. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Bobby from Southwest Pennsylvania.
Hey, Bobby.
One, it is very possible to blow up a bridge from two key points. The size of the bridge, it really sounds like terrorism to me. And I had a question. Do you guys know anything about the Skyway Bridge collapse in Florida? It was probably about 35, 40 years ago.
I don't know a lot about that, but you are absolutely right. That did not create the amount of deaths that some of these others have, but it did collapse. James, did you ever check into that one?
Well, I'm just flipping through my notes here. Is that the one that was hit by a ship?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You've stumped the speaker here.
Okay, and we're almost out of time here, James. Obviously, we're going to keep in touch with you all week long as more and more information unfolds each and every day, huh? And your website, invitingdisaster.com.
That's correct.
All right, James, thanks.
Okay, very good.
Okay, and we will continue with our regular programming at the top of the hour, The Skeptic's Cage with Stanton Friedman and Michael Shermer. For those of you who just want that. And again, if you want to continue to watch the unfoldings, there's not much going on right now. It's dark there, and, you know, they're not diving. Just slide your television set along the way as well. So I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with our two guests tonight on Coast to Coast AM.